This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. There are two important snippets that I think I want to just cover very quickly before we get onto the main news, Howard. The first of which is the drama that went on yesterday at the White House with the Saudi crown prince. He's the crown prince because his father, the king, King Salman, is incapacitated. And so MBS, as people like to call him, Mohammed bin Salman, he is effectively the ruler of Saudi Arabia. And I think aside from the pomp and ceremony and the three-line whip with everybody appearing outside the White House to welcome him as he arrived, and the flyover of the US Air Force planes and all that, which was very, very dramatic indeed. I think there were two or three things which came out of the discussions. First of all, the way that he kind of threw this comment at President Trump by saying, I'm going to be increasing our investment in the US from $600 billion to $1 trillion. And, you know, it was kind of just thrown out like an extra $400 billion between friends, a real bromance going on between Trump and bin Salman in the process. But bin Salman made two really important comments, the first of which is that he would very much like to join the Abraham Accords. And even though I know that this has been touted for quite some time and been discussed in public for some time already, hearing him say it is an entirely different thing than just hearing it and seeing it reported. So I think that that was really an important point. The second one was that he did, of course, tie it to the concept of a Palestinian state, which he has done before, but this time he kind of worded it a little bit more cautiously. He spoke about a path towards a Palestinian
state. I noticed that. I wanted to ask you about that, because it definitely wasn't recognition, it was a path, which means kind of a journey.
Right. So he essentially has stepped back and said, instead of having to wait until a Palestinian state is in existence, he wants to see that there is some sort of progress towards the establishment of a Palestinian state. So that effectively, potentially brings forward the possibility of Saudi Arabia joining the Abraham Accords. The problem from an Israeli perspective and everything that went on yesterday is that Israel had hoped that some of the concessions that the US was going to grant to Saudi, including the F-35 planes and other military equipment that the US had agreed would be sold to Saudi Arabia, but Israel had hoped that all of those military sales and potentially some other things would be made dependent upon Saudi joining the Abraham Accords. And what we saw yesterday was that Saudi Arabia was effectively given almost everything that they'd hoped to receive without any link towards joining the Abraham Accords. So I think that that was the one area that Israel was hoping would work out differently. But overall, a very, very fascinating meeting.
I want to come back.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I just wonder if that wasn't deliberate to say, because then Saudi could never be accused of saying, well, you got what you wanted, you know, because you could recognize, you know, move forward with this Abraham Accord, whereas here that happened before. So I would imagine that maybe it's just all about timing.
Well, it is about timing and how different a different presidency in the US is, because we remember how prickly things were between Joe Biden and MBS and the famous fist bump where Joe Biden wasn't even willing to shake his hand. And of course, Trump made a joke of that yesterday, saying, "I will shake your hand no matter where it's been," whatever that comment was meant to say. But he was obviously playing on the fact that Joe Biden wasn't willing to shake his hand. What I wanted to also say was just to go back to my comments yesterday about the establishment of a Palestinian state and the comment that I made that I felt that that was really the only solution out of this. And I just want to clarify a little bit, because I might have confused some people after I earlier, some months ago, came out very critical of countries that decided to recognize a Palestinian state in the heat of the war. And I thought that that was a bad move, and I thought that it sent the wrong message. And now I'm saying that I feel that the Palestinian state is really the only solution. So I'd like to just clarify why those two comments that I made aren't necessarily contradictory. In the first instance, it's important to recognize that our concept of a Palestinian state, which I think probably coincides with many members of the international community, is to create a place where people can live, who can be determine their own destiny, who can have a secure place with the necessary infrastructure to be able to build an economy and to create an environment to raise their children and to create a future for themselves. That's my concept of why I think there should be a Palestinian state, because I don't know that there's going to be any other place around the world that will be willing to accept those 2 million people and to create that environment for them. The problem is that our concept of a Palestinian state and the Hamas concept of a Palestinian state are entirely different, because when Hamas says they want a Palestinian state, what they mean is they want a springboard to allow them to create an attack towards Israel to ultimately wipe Israel out and to wipe the Jews out. That's Hamas's idea of a Palestinian state. So we clearly have a gap between what we believe to be a Palestinian state in the future and what they think. And by the way, Fatah, the rulers of the Palestinian Authority, are probably somewhere in the middle, because we can't ignore the fact that they continue to pay the families and those who have perpetrated attacks against Israel in the past. They think that that is sufficient of an achievement to finance them moving forward. And all the while that the Fatah-run Palestinian Authority continues to pay for slay, as it's like, as we like to call it, they will be on the side of Hamas where the establishment of a Palestinian state is concerned, rather than on our side. And so we definitely have an issue about our different views of a Palestinian state. Why was I critical of those countries around the world who recognized a Palestinian state during the war, even if their concept might be closer to ours than to the concept of Hamas? The reason why I was critical of them was not because they actually recognized the Palestinian state, but because their timing was so critical that at the moment that they decided to recognize the Palestinian state, they were effectively not recognizing a Palestinian state, because one didn't exist. And what they were instead doing was reinforcing Hamas at a time that we were trying to kill them off. And that is why I was critical of their recognition of a Palestinian state, because that act had nothing to do with the recognition of a Palestinian state. It had everything to do with reinforcing Hamas as a legitimate ruler over Gaza, and potentially allowing them to create the springboard to destroy Israel. And that is the reason why I felt that the recognition of a Palestinian state at that time was really inappropriate. I mean, that's kind of a polite way of saying it, and really just went every distance towards helping Hamas and rehabilitating Hamas's image in the international community.
100%, and I think well clarified. An Israeli civilian has been killed, 3 others injured. That was in a terror attack at the Etzion Junction yesterday. What happened?
So I think it's important to say that the two terrorists who carried out this attack at the Etzion Junction were 18 years old. And it just makes you wonder where they've come from and what sort of education they'd received that made them understand that going to the Etzion Junction, driving their car into a group of civilians who were standing there waiting for buses or moving around, going about their daily business without threatening anybody, and then jumping out of the car and stabbing one man to death and injuring a number of others in the process, and then ultimately giving up their own lives in the process to become the heroes that ultimately these people become, because the next thing that will happen to the families of these two 18-year-olds is that they will be starting to receive stipends from the Palestinian Authority in the Pay for Slave program. That's effectively how all of this works. Of course, in the meantime, the IDF have gone in to Hebron and to Beit Umar, where these two individuals actually came from, gone into their family homes and have tried to take action so that they don't feel that the terror attack that was carried out by these two youngsters yesterday is some sort of a credit to them. It brings them some sort of advantage in the fullness of time, even though they ultimately will become members of the payroll of the Palestinian Authority. But unfortunately, in the process, a 71-year-old man from the Kiryat Arba area was stabbed to death, and that three other people were injured. The Kiryat Arba resident, Aharon Cohen, he was 70 years old, and he leaves behind six children and a number of grandchildren, and his funeral already took place last night in Kiryat Arba. There was a woman who was hit by a soldier's fire. There were a number of reservists.
Because there you just feel for the soldiers who are doing their best to defend lives and in the process land up doing the very opposite.
So what happened was that there were a number of reservists who happened to be in the area as the attack was taking place. They responded very quickly. The two terrorists involved were killed by the reserve soldiers. But as I've said, unfortunately, a woman was hit in the crossfire. She is reported to be quite seriously ill in hospital, recovering from the shot that she received. There were a number of others, including a 15-year-old, who were less seriously injured in the process, were hit by the car as it rammed into those civilians. So overall, you know, I think it's important just to keep in the back of our minds, or maybe in the front of our minds, that we are still fighting a war of terror within our borders. It's not only fighting Hamas in Gaza, and it's not only fighting Hezbollah and Hamas in Lebanon, and it's not only the Houthis, and it's not only taking care of our border along Egypt and many other areas, but we are also fighting this continued terror, war on terror. And when we have 18-year-olds who think that it's okay to come out and try and attack us, knowing full well that they are likely not to come out of that attack alive, and yet they still do it, I think that it is just shines a spotlight on the education that these people are receiving, and who feel that to become a shahid is more important than somehow trying to build some sort of a stable infrastructure for their future, which is really, really sad for all of us.
It really is, Anthony Reich. We do need to leave it there, because I just need a few moments to talk about the fundraiser. And your message to listeners about the Chai FM Fuel Our Frequency campaign?
Well, what I would like to encourage listeners is just to get involved, to do everything that they can to help. We all know that Chai FM has been a great contributor to the community over the years. I think it's Chai years now, almost.
Mm-hmm.
That
Chai it FM is, actually. Been, 18
have,
years.
Have been, mm-hmm. have been in, on the air, and I'm very proud and privileged to have been involved for almost Chai years. It'll
Incredible.
Be another month or two, and I also will have been involved that time. So I appreciate the support that I've personally received, and I know that they're very great supporters of the station in general, Howard, and you, that I know that you have a great following. So get involved, do whatever you can, and try and encourage other members of the community to get involved as much as possible. I think this is as much about community involvement as it is about the fundraiser.
Absolutely. It really, really is. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. All right. Taking a look, we've got some really amazing, amazing donations that have come in. Mukundi is signaling me and I have no idea why.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.